Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you all, and welcome to those who are still in the vestibule. And we want to start the service, so we would encourage you to come on in. Good to see you all here this morning. You've been given the weekly announcement sheet. Just draw your attention to a number of items on the sheet. Firstly, to remind you that there's tea and coffee afterwards. In the minor hall, and then the service this evening at 7 o'clock, and that's going to be conducted for us by Michael. As you will see, the home Bible study groups meet in the incoming week, and so you have the times and locations for them. And then next Saturday is our day of prayer, and so the list for the half-hourly slots is in the vestibule, and if you can sign up for one of those half-hourly slots, that would be greatly appreciated. And then again, just reminding you of the special evening on Saturday the 7th of March here in the church. The new Irish Orchestra and Choir will be presenting a musical on the life of Patrick. It'll be a really lovely evening. Really encourage you to come along. Also encourage you to bring family and friends along to that. And you've got the details about that on the announcement sheet. Okay, I think that's really all the main announcements for this morning. Today is our all-age service, so boys and girls stay in right throughout the service. And today we're going to be looking at an incident from the life of Nehemiah. And we're hoping to learn from that incident a little bit more about worship. And what are some of the elements that should be part of our worship as we gather here Sunday by Sunday. So let's turn together to God. And our first two pieces just really celebrate God's faithfulness to you and me. Here is something in which we can depend in our daily lives. There is so much in life that is uncertain. But God remains absolutely faithful in all his ways, in all his works. And so we stand together to sing, Faithful One, So Unchanging, and then we continue with that great hymn, Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. are going to pray now, and our prayers are going to be led for us by Anne.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you that we have the privilege of coming to church this morning to worship you. We thank you for everything you have done in our lives, for your endless love in good times and in hard times. We thank you that you are only a prayer away. We pray as a church family and as individuals that we will trust you for the future. Help us to look to you when we need guidance and to hold on to our faith in you. May we all have the reassurance that because you live, that we can face whatever lies ahead in our lives. In your precious name, amen.
Now, Adrian is going to come with the first of our readings, and it's going to be a reading from Nehemiah chapter 12. But it's going to be read for us from the Message version of the Bible.
Dedication of the Wall. When it came time for the dedication of the wall, they tracked down and brought in the Levites from all their homes in Jerusalem to carry out the dedication exuberantly. Thanksgiving hymns, songs, cymbals, harps and lutes. The singers assembled from all around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Netophathites, from Beth Gilgal, from the farms at Geba and Asmaveth. The singers had built villages for themselves all around Jerusalem. The priests and Levites ceremonially purified themselves. Then they did the same for the people, the gates, and the wall. I had the leaders of Judah come up onto the wall, and I appointed two large choirs. One proceeded on the wall to the right, towards the dung gate. Hashiah and half the leaders of Judah followed them, including Azariah, Ezra, Meshullam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, and Jeremiah. Some of the young priests had trumpets. Next, playing the musical instruments of David, the man of God, came Zechariah, son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zachar, the son of Asaph, and his brothers, Shemaiah, Azarel, Milalai, Gilalai, Mai, Nathanael, Judah, and Hanani. Ezra the scholar led them. At the fountain gate, they went straight ahead, up the steps of the city of David, using the wall staircase above the house of David to the water gate on the east. The other choir proceeded to the left. I and half of the people followed them on the wall from the Tower of Furnaces to the Broad Wall, over the Ephraim Gate, the Dishana Gate, the Fish Gate, the Tower of Hananel, and the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Sheep Gate, stopping at the Prison Gate. The two choirs then took their places in the temple of God. I was there with half of the officials, along with the priests, Eliakim, Messiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Elianai, Zechariah, and Hanani, with their trumpets. Also, Messiah, Shemaiah, Eleazar, Uzai, Jehoanan, Malchijah, Elam, and Ezer. The singers, directed by Jezariah, made the rafters ring. That day, they offered great sacrifices, an exuberant celebration, because God had filled them with great joy. The women and children raised their happy voices with all the rest. Jerusalem's jubilation was heard far and wide.
Now, some people would describe it as abuse, getting your wife to read a passage like that. The only thing that I can say is that I volunteered to do it, and Adrian said, no, you're not doing it. You're useless at the big words. And she's absolutely right. I just make them up as I go along, so I am grateful to her. And I noticed that she made up a few of them herself along the way. But yeah, I mean, we like to celebrate, don't we? We all, you know, we look for an excuse to throw a party. What are some of the things that we celebrate? What are some of the things that we throw a party for? Come on, anybody in church? Birthdays, yes. Anything else? Yes, shout out. Oh, Christmas, okay, yes. Oh, new baby, yes, baptisms. I'm going to go through it with you because my hearing's gone completely. Weddings, anniversaries, baptisms, graduations, or if people pass a test or pass an exam, we love to throw parties. We celebrate. We celebrate the important moments in our lives. But here's the thing. Nations also do the same. They celebrate important moments in their history. And so I've got this up now. I'm going to ask you to see if you can guess the country that's associated with the date. Now we'll go with the easy one first, the 12th of July. Yeah, I don't think we need worry about that one. Okay, the 11th of November. England, well done. Now we're getting to the harder stuff. The 4th of July. Oh, you're really into this morning. The 14th of July. France. Now, this is the hard one. And if you get it right, you get a prize. Any thoughts about the 15th of August? Nope, none to do with the Hibernians. Nope, none to do with that either. Here we go. Independence Day for India. You see, nations like to mark special occasions in their history. And in our reading, we find the people of Israel marking a special moment in their nation's history. Things had been really bad for them for many years, nearly 100 years before. The Babylonians came, surrounded Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and knocked down the wall of the city. And they did such a good job about it. They said there wasn't one stone standing on top of another. And in those days, without a wall around it, the city was defenseless. Anybody could walk in to the city. They had no way of protecting themselves. Just think about what it would be like if your house had no doors on it. How could you protect your belongings or yourself? It's nearly impossible. And that's the way it was for the nation of Judah for nearly 100 years. And then something amazing happened. God moved in the heart of a man called Nehemiah. And he felt that God wanted him to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. Now, Nehemiah didn't live in Jerusalem. In fact, he lived hundreds of miles away in a place called Susa. And he had a really, really responsible job. He was the cupbearer to the king. But Nehemiah knew that he had heard God properly. When the king allowed him to take, as it were, a career break and to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. And not only that, the king provided the materials that Nehemiah needed for that work. Now, when he came to Jerusalem, the people weren't too keen at first in helping him. But when they heard how God had been leading him, they gave their support. And the people all worked together. They faced all kinds of opposition. But Nehemiah didn't allow the opposition to stop the work. And they finished the walls in 52 days. It was a miracle. This was something worth celebrating. And as you heard from our reading, that they weren't content to have one choir. They had two choirs. And one choir went in one direction round the wall singing as they went. And the other choir went in the other direction singing as they went. And they met together at the temple. And they had this service of thanksgiving. They were praising God for what he had done. And in the life of the church, we have special occasions when we remember what God has done for us. And somebody shouted out one of them. We have Christmas. We have Good Friday. We have Easter Sunday. We have Pentecost. And we have harvest. And all of these special occasions make us think about what God has done. But here's the thing. We need more than special occasions because we easily forget what God has done. Sometimes it's due to complacency. We take what God has done for granted. We forget about how amazing it is. Or sometimes it's the result of carelessness. We allow ourselves to be taken up with the busyness of life or the things of this world, and we lose sight of the great things that God has done for you and me. And you see, those special occasions are not enough. That's why we come together week by week by week. We come to remember. We remember what God, has done for us in history. But we also remember what God has done in each of our lives. And we use those memories to lead us to praise him. To praise him for the great things that he has done, and through our praise to encourage us to give him the rightful place in our lives. Now, here's the important thing about remembering. We don't remember in order to live in the past. And that's the great temptation for us, especially it's the great temptation as we get older. We think back, and we think as if those were the best of times. But when we come to worship, we look back. We remember what God has done. We give him our praise. And that praise encourages us to live for him in the present. And here's an important part of our worship, week by week by week. We remember and we acknowledge what he has done in history and what he has done in our lives. And this stirs us to praise him. And in praising him, we are encouraged to give him first place in our lives. And so we're going to take up the theme of this first part of looking at Nehemiah. And we're going to praise God together. We're going to sing two pieces that encourage that praise. The first one is one that is new to us. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. And so I'm going to get the praise group to sing that for you first. And then we'll try it together and allow you to keep your seats for that one because we're learning it. And then we'll stand to sing the second one, which is Build Your Kingdom Here. Give it a go together. Again, just sing out. We're going to get a whole lot of wrong notes, but we're not worried about that. Okay, boys and girls, if you would like all to come to the front, all the boys and girls up to P7, and Emma is going to come and speak to you this morning. All boys and girls up to P7.
Am I on? Yes. Good morning. Well, wait, there's a couple more coming, I think, from upstairs. Good morning, everyone. Oh, we're all a bit sleepy. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, a couple more coming. Great. Excellent. Fast runners, which is great because I've got a challenge this morning. Does anybody think they are very strong? Yeah, some people think they're very strong. Okay, so I've got a challenge. Right, Ryan, you can come up here. Okay. So I want you to stand at this side. And who else thought they were very strong? Ruby, you come up here. Okay, so I've got a challenge for you. So I'm going to need you to stand on the ground. Now, David, actually, I need you to come up and help me as well. It's all right, you just have to count. You don't have to be strong. It's okay. It's a good job. Right, so I'm going to need you to stand beside Ryan. Okay, so I've got two different challenges for you. Okay, Ryan, you're a cyclist, so I bet you've got really strong legs. What do you think? Okay, so your challenge is knee to chests, okay? So big high knees, you're going to go, okay? And you're going to see how many of those you can do in 30 seconds, okay? Ruby, I looked at you this morning in Lighthouse and I thought, she's a strong girl. Look at those big, strong arms. Let me see your muscles. Look at them. Amazing. So I'm going to get you to do the weights challenge. Now, you've got little hands, so I'm going to let you use both hands, okay? It's not a very heavy weight. Okay? And your challenge is to go up and down. This is why this mic doesn't work for me. Up and down, okay? And you're going to see how many times you can do that in 30 seconds. Okay? So happy enough, Ryan? Let me see you practice. So, yep, that's perfect. So David's going to count every time your knee goes up to your chest is one. Okay? Ruby, let me see you practice. Up and down. Every time it goes in the air is one. Okay? We ready? 30 seconds. Let me get my timer on. On your marks, get set, go. Fifteen seconds in, keep going. Ryan, that was fast. Well done. Yeah, big round of applause to you both. How many did he manage? Wow, that was very impressive. I think Ruby managed about 39, which is really impressive of those as well. So well done. Right, you can have a wee seat. Right, watching them do that, tell me, what muscles was Ryan using? Okay, so what muscles needed to be strong for Ryan to do that, Grace? His leg muscles. Okay, do we all agree with that? Okay, what about Ruby? What muscles needed to be strong in order for her to do that? Yeah, Peter? Her arm muscles, do we all agree? Are those the only muscles that need to be strong to do that challenge? No, some of you are shaking your head. Does anybody know what other muscles you might use, Matthew? Well, your brain's not a muscle, but yes, you need to use your brain because all those little nerves in your body need to send the messages back up and down. It's very amazing. But there are other muscles because, yep, Julia? Well, David did need to use his eyes, but Ryan and Ruby actually didn't just use some muscles. They used lots of muscles together. Now, some of you might know my job is being a physiotherapist, and part of my job is to help people who are injured or sick to move better through exercise and moving their bodies. And what I know as a physiotherapist is Ryan came to me and he's had a cycling injury. Okay, and he said, look, I'm cycling, but my knee is getting sore all the time, or my hip is getting sore all the time. I wouldn't just look at his hip or his knee. Do you know what else I would look at? I would look at his tummy muscles. I would look at the muscles around his hips and his bottom. And I would look at all the muscles around his back. What these are called are our core muscles, okay? And what we know is that if these muscles around our middle are really weak and like jelly, well, then our arm muscles don't work very well and our leg muscles don't work very well. So we do lots of what we call core strengthening. So we don't just work the arm muscles or the leg muscles. We work the muscles at the very center of us. And we see lots of problems. Sometimes if our core muscles are weak, then people come along and they go, my back's really sore. Okay, they get back pains, they get leg pains. They maybe feel a bit weak and they're not performing at their 100% best. So core strengthening is really, really important. So what's that got to do with Nehemiah? Okay, well, Nehemiah, as we had heard, and all the Israelites had finished building the wall. And as Jim was saying, they celebrated that, didn't they? They gave thanks for the past. Okay, now, we did this in Sunday school today, didn't we? What did we do? Boys, did we march around the walls? And didn't we make lots of noise and we were shouting our praise? But what was the other thing that we did? What we did, ring bells. And what did the thing Lee made? And we all went, oh, this is lovely. What did Lee get us to do before? Grace, do you remember? And it was warm. Putting your hands in the water. My goodness, it was only not that long ago. So we put our hands in water because what we were doing, we were purifying ourselves. Okay. So Nehemiah and the people realized that it wasn't just important to build the wall because the wall was only part of it. It was only the outside part. Nehemiah and the people knew that actually working on their core, their inside part, was actually really important. And they got a man called Ezra to get the scrolls of the law out. And he read all the laws of God. And you know, it said they were there from daybreak to lunchtime. And he didn't stop reading. Can you imagine how long that is? And the people heard the laws and they realized, we haven't been following those laws. And so do you know what they did? They cried because they were so sad. And actually Ezra said, look, go and celebrate. We're coming back to God. Okay, so they read the laws, they knew it was important, and also then Nehemiah put people in charge of different things. So he made choirs, he made music leaders, he made people to look after the stores, there were priests, so people had jobs. And also they looked at how they had been doing things, and what they looked to see was, well, we haven't been doing things properly, we haven't been following God's laws. So they looked at the past and they said, yes, God, look what you have done. But like Jim said, they didn't just stay in the past. They looked at now. They looked at what they needed to do now. Now, when we talk about our stories in Lighthouse, we always think, well, so what? What does that got to do with us here in First Ards today? Okay, well, what I think God is trying to say to us through that is that we need to look at our core as well. Now, we've got a really big church building, don't we? Thick walls. We walked around it when we were talking about Solomon building the temple. We looked at the walls. They're really thick. This church is probably not going to fall down, is it? So it could be here for a long time. Okay. And we have lots of stuff going on in church, don't we? We have lots of organizations like GB and BB and Lighthouse and Bowling Club, Connect, and lots and lots and lots and lots of different things. So do we think that's enough? No, it's not, is it? Because God tells us that actually having all that stuff, just like having the walls wasn't enough, it was what was going on now. And the people needed to change their hearts. And we need to look at what is at the core of our church. Now, we've just been singing about building God's kingdom. And we all have different jobs to do in church. Okay, now the people back in Nehemiah's time, they read all the laws and that told them how to follow it. And you know, the Pharisees had 613 different laws. That's a lot of laws to follow, isn't it? But Jesus, when Jesus came to earth, some of the Pharisees were trying to trick him and they said, Jesus, what is the most important law? And do you know what Jesus said? He said, the most important law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And he said, the second most important is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think, if we do that, if we get that right at the middle and right at the core of everything we do in church, well, that helps grow our church for the future, doesn't it? It helps to build God's kingdom here on earth. Now, how can we, as we boys and girls, I'm not a wee boy and girl anymore, but how can you do that? Okay, well, there's lots of ways that you can live out. Well, the first and most important thing is that you follow Jesus. And we know it's so important that we have to realize that on our own, we run away from God and we sin. And we need to turn back to him. We need to say, sorry, God. And we need to believe that because of Jesus, we are made right with God again. And so we don't have to do what the priest did and purify their hands and do all those things and sacrifice animals, because Jesus was our sacrifice. But what are the other things that we can do? Well, we can be kind, can't we? Yeah, Julia? We can tell friends, absolutely. We can love God so much that we want to tell other people. We want them to do that as well. Now, when you look around the church, lots of people have different jobs, don't they? Yeah. But you're a little bit too little for some of those jobs, aren't you? But do you think people are going to be around forever? Do you think I'm going to be a Sunday school teacher forever and ever and ever? No. No, I'm not. Okay. Do you think that Paul Craig's going to be a BB leader forever and ever and ever? No. Do you think Jenny's going to play the piano forever? She's not. Look, she's definitely not. Look at her. She's definitely not. So we need people to fill these jobs. Who's going to fill these jobs? Maybe the people in front of me. But what I'm going to tell you is, in the meantime, you don't just sit back. You've got to exercise. You've got to build your core. Now, does that mean doing loads of planks? No, it doesn't. It means spiritual exercise. And while you're little and while you're growing, one of the ways you can prepare to be a leader and prepare for those jobs of building God's kingdom in this church and in this town and in this country is to do things like read your Bible and pray, get to know God better, come into church, but not just come into church or Sunday school. What should you do when you're here? Listen. Because it's very easy sometimes just to sit and think, I'm going to get back to that book when I go home, or I have to finish that game on my phone. But listen and think about how those things can change our lives so we can build God's kingdom here on earth. And we look forward as a church to seeing you grow. We as a church family want to help you grow in all those things and build your spiritual core muscles so that one day you can take over those jobs from me and Jenny and all those other people, and that you can go out into the world and show God's love. Okay, now we're going to sing your song, and it's a song a bit about that. It's called Let Your Light Shine. We practice this in Sunday school. We really love that. It's a song for the big people as well. Okay, even if you don't want to do the actions, try and sing out with us. Okay, I'll be up on the feet. Is
everyone. Boys and girls, you can go back to your seats, and we're going to take up the offering. We're going to have a second short reading. It's a reading taken from Psalm 126. I'm not sure who's reading it. Oh, Katie's reading that. That's good. They don't allow me to read anymore. As you can see, they've got the family in to make sure that it's done right. Katie, you come on up and do Psalm 126. And this is about the people when they returned to Jerusalem and how they felt about what God had done for them in the past.
Psalm 126, Restore Our Fortunes, O Lord, a song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him.
Now, I know that there are many Rangers and Manchester United supporters here in the congregation. And they have a glorious past, but they haven't much to look forward for in the future at the minute. I mean, both teams will need a miracle if they were ever to win their respective leagues. And it's amazing to think that it was actually 20 years ago when Manchester United became the first team to win, the first English team to win the treble, the league, the cup, and the Champions League as well. And I remember very vividly watching the final match between Manchester United and Bayern Munich. This was the one that they needed for the treble. And they never looked like winning it. Bayern Munich scored very early on, and they kept the lead right the way through the match, and they hit the posts so many times that you'd nearly lost count. George Best was at that match. He walked out before the end. Many of the fans walked out before the end as well, because they thought this is a hopeless situation. And I remember watching it and thinking, gosh, they're not very much good fans then. I mean, I don't support Manchester United, but I had confidence. I knew that they would do it. And it came to the 90th minute, and the fourth official put up his board and said, 3 minutes of extra time, and it was still 1-0. And more of the fans walked out. And then, in the 90th minute, Manchester United scored. And then, in the 93rd minute, they scored the winner and won the match won the Champions League and won the treble. And I knew that they would do it all along. And you're thinking to yourself, you're very smug. Do you know how I knew they would do it? I was watching the recorded highlights. I already knew the score. Now, as we come together as a company of God's people week by week, we want to remember what God has done in the past. But if we only ever remember what he does in the past, we'll live in the past. But when we come to worship, we also look to the future with hope. And it's not a forlorn hope. Maybe everything will work out okay in the end. It's a certain hope. It's based on the promise of God. The Bible shows us how things will end when Jesus returns. And it shows us that his cause will prevail. That there is a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you see, this is our confidence. No matter how discouraging things might be at the moment, no matter the difficulties that we might face, we are on the winning side. He will triumph in the end. Now, how exactly that will happen, we're not told. And we mustn't assume that that means that every individual Christian church or Christian work will prevail. Because we know that's not the case. History is full of examples of churches that have thrived and flourished for a time, and now they're no more. They've been turned into restaurants or art galleries or something else. But it is this hope that we have in Jesus that encourages us today to love him, to live for him, and to serve him in whatever way we can. As Emma was reminding the boys and girls, to build up our spiritual core. And actually we see this attitude in the psalm that was just read for us. The psalmist looks back, yes. And he's full of praise for what God has done in the life of the nation. He's restored their fortunes. He's brought them back. And it's so amazing. It's almost like the psalmist feels that he's dreaming. But he doesn't stay in the past. He expresses his confidence in the future. He says that those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. And we need to remember that there are seasons in the workings of God. And often the Bible compares those seasons to the seasons in agriculture. You know, it speaks about plowing and sowing and reaping. Now, we don't choose the season we are in. I mean, if we had our choice, all of us would want to be part of the season of reaping. God makes that choice. What we must do as individual believers and as a company of his people is to seek his will. We endeavor through the enabling of the Holy Spirit to put Jesus first in our lives, to live for him and to serve him wherever he has placed us. We can't see God's grand design. We can't appreciate at the moment the part that we have to play. And sometimes we find that difficult. Sometimes that is the very reason that we doubt and we become downcast. But the Bible reminds us that we are on the winning side. And that it is this hope that motivates us to keep looking to Jesus and trusting in Jesus. Even in the face of setbacks, disappointments, discouragements, and even failures. And through Nehemiah and his celebrations of the building of the walls, we are reminded of these three important elements in our worship week by week. We look to the past, and we do so praising God for what he has done for us in history and what he has done for us in our individual lives. We look to the future, and we look with hope, trusting in the promises of God. And that encourages us to live for him in the present, to build our spiritual core prayerfully, acknowledging our dependence upon him, but joyfully and expectantly remembering what he has done and anticipating what he has yet to do in our midst. Let's join together to pray. Let's pray together. Lord, we are so grateful for what you have done in history on our behalf. Sending your son into the world to live that life of obedience that we could never have lived. Taking him to a cross to die in our place. And raising him from the dead. And then sending the Holy Spirit so that we might be enabled not only to know your forgiveness, but to have the strength to live for him. We thank you for the great hope that we have in him. That we are on the winning side. That regardless of the setbacks, his cause will prevail. And so we pray, Lord, for that courage to look to him today, to trust in him today, to seek to serve him in whatever way we can today. That as we have been singing, that as you choose, you would build your kingdom here among us. For we ask it in his name. Amen. And we turn to our closing hymn. It's a hymn that really takes up that theme of building our spiritual core. It's a hymn that reminds us of what God has done, points us to what he is yet to do, and reminds us that we have to live simply in dependence on him. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Thank you. pray in confidence that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit would be with us all. Amen.